You're listening to Signal 20. It's 3:07 a.m. in a county dispatch room when the line blooms with static. Please, Millfield and Oak, multiple vehicles, people are trapped. Units roll. 4 minutes later, empty pavement, a swaying light, October wind. Then the next night, same time, same voice, same plea. Tonight we follow a dispatcher into the records room, down a corridor of yellowed clippings and forgotten logs, to an ice storm in 1987 and a call that refuses to end. It's a story about duty, doubt, and what it costs to keep listening when the past won't hang up. Emma Frey adjusted her headset as the dispatch center settled into its usual 3 a.m. quiet. 3 weeks into night shift, she'd learned the rhythm. Most calls came before midnight or after sunrise. The dead hours between belonged to silence and stale coffee. The phone rang at 3:06, 1 minute early. Static crackled through the line, thick and electric. Beneath it, a woman's voice whispered through the interference. "Please, we need help. There's been an accident at Millfield and Oak. Multiple vehicles. People are trapped." Emma's fingers moved across the keyboard. "Ma'am, can you repeat your location?" "Millfield and Oak intersection. The ice. We couldn't stop. Please hurry." Emma dispatched 2 units and an ambulance. The responders reached the intersection in 4 minutes. Empty pavement. No accident. No ice. Just the old traffic light swaying in the October wind. The same call came again the next night. Same time, same voice, same desperate plea from Millfield and Oak. Emma spent her lunch breaks in the records room, digging through old incident reports. The filing cabinets held decades of county emergencies, each folder a snapshot of someone's worst day. She found it buried in the 1987 files. February 12th, ice storm. Fatal pileup at Millfield and Oak claimed 3 lives. The newspaper clipping was yellow and brittle, but the photos showed twisted metal and emergency lights cutting through falling snow. The victim list made her hands shake. Sarah Martinez, 34. Maria Santos, 28. David Chen, 41. The voice on the phone matched the newspaper's description of Sarah Martinez perfectly. Same age, same soft accent the reporter had noted. "You're getting too invested in prank calls." Supervisor Jenkins dropped into the chair across from her. "Third week jitters. Happens to everyone." Emma closed the file. What if they're not pranks? Then someone's got a sick sense of humor and too much time. Jenkins leaned forward. "Don't let the weird ones get under your skin. Answer the call, send the units, move on. That's the job." But the calls kept coming. Every night at 3:07 a.m., the static grew thicker, more aggressive. Sarah's voice became more desperate, more real. Emma started recording them on her phone, breaking department policy. She needed proof this was happening. The recordings played back as pure static. No voice, no plea for help, just electronic noise that made her teeth ache. Sleep became impossible. Emma would lie in bed waiting for 3:07, even on her nights off. The sound of static followed her everywhere. Her car radio, her apartment's old television. Even the microwave seemed to whisper Sarah's words when it ran. Her performance reviews showed the strain. Delayed response times, confused addresses. Other dispatchers covered for her, but Jenkins noticed everything. "Take a few days off," he suggested after Emma mixed up 2 domestic disturbance calls. "Clear your head." Emma nodded, but she knew the calls would continue without her. Someone else would hear Sarah's voice cutting through the static. Someone else would send units to an empty intersection. The cycle would repeat, night after night, until another dispatcher broke under the weight of impossible calls. The static had become constant now, a low hum that lived in her ears. Even in perfect silence, she could hear it building toward 3:07, growing stronger as the moment approached. She traced the phone number through old records during her suspension. The line had been disconnected in February 1987, the same month as the accident, the same month Sarah Martinez died waiting for help that arrived too late. The phone number led Emma down a rabbit hole that consumed her days off. She sat in the county clerk's office, scrolling through decades of telecommunications records on a computer older than she was. The number had been assigned to a payphone at Millfield and Oak, installed in 1982, removed in March 1987, 1 month after the accident. The payphone had been destroyed in the crash. Emma's apartment became a war room of printouts and newspaper clippings. She mapped every detail of that February night. The ice storm had hit without warning. Temperatures dropped 20 degrees in an hour. The intersection had no salt trucks, no warning signs, just black ice and three cars that couldn't stop in time. Sleep deprivation made everything feel underwater. Emma would drift off at her kitchen table, surrounded by evidence of something impossible, then wake to her phone buzzing with static at 3:07 a.m., even when she wasn't working, even when she'd turned the phone off. Her performance review came early. Jenkins sat across from her in his cramped office, a stack of incident reports between them. "You missed two domestic violence calls last week. Gave wrong directions to a cardiac arrest. What's going on?" Emma stared at the reports. She remembered the calls differently, remembered dispatching units correctly, following protocol. But the paperwork told another story. Delayed responses, confused addresses, other dispatchers cleaning up her mistakes. "I need you focused," Jenkins continued. "People's lives depend on getting this right." Emma nodded, but her mind was already drifting to 3:07, to Sarah's voice cutting through the static, begging for help that would never come. She drove to Millfield and Oak during daylight hours, parking where the payphone used to stand. The intersection looked normal in sunshine. Traffic flowed smoothly through the lights, no sign of the violence that had happened here decades ago. But someone had left flowers. Fresh ones. White roses tied with a yellow ribbon, placed exactly where the newspaper photos showed Sarah Martinez's car had come to rest. The diner across the street had been there since the 1960s. Emma ordered coffee from a waitress who looked old enough to remember the accident. "You're not the first one to ask about that night," the woman said, refilling Emma's cup without being asked. "Get someone every few years, usually young folks working dispatch." Emma's hand shook as she reached for the sugar. "What do you mean?" "The calls. Started right after the accident. Same time every night. Same voice asking for help." The waitress glanced toward the intersection. "Drove three dispatchers to quit before they figured out how to handle it." "How to handle it?" "Don't answer after 3:05. Let it ring. System logs it as a missed call, but nobody has to hear her voice." The woman's expression softened. "Some things are better left alone." Emma drove home with her hands gripping the wheel too tight. Three dispatchers. All quit because of the same call she was receiving. The same voice. The same impossible plea for help from a woman who'd been dead for decades. She researched the previous dispatchers online. Found two of them. Both had left emergency services entirely. One worked at a hardware store now. The other had moved across the country. No forwarding information. The static followed her everywhere now. It crackled through her car radio during the drive home, whispered through her apartment's heating vents. Even her neighbor's dog seemed to hear it, whining and pacing every night at 3:07. Emma started sleeping with headphones, white noise apps drowning out the electronic whispers. But Sarah's voice cut through everything, desperate, pleading, real in a way that made Emma's chest tight with panic. She called in sick for three straight shifts. Jenkins left voicemails threatening suspension, then termination. Emma deleted them without listening. The job felt distant now, less important than the mystery consuming her life. The flowers at the intersection were replaced weekly. Always white roses, always the same yellow ribbon. Emma started watching from the diner, trying to catch whoever was leaving them. But the memorial refreshed itself when she wasn't looking, as if the flowers grew from the pavement itself. Her savings account drained as she missed work. Bills piled up on her kitchen table, mixed with newspaper clippings and phone records. Emma's world had shrunk to a single intersection, a single moment in time, a single voice crying out for help across decades of silence. The static was constant now. Even in perfect quiet, she could hear it building, growing stronger as each day brought her closer to 3:07, closer to Sarah's voice. Closer to something that shouldn't exist but refused to die. Emma knew she was losing herself to this obsession. But Sarah Martinez had been losing herself for 37 years, trapped in that moment of impact, calling for help that never came. Someone had to answer. Someone had to make it right, even if it destroyed them both. Emma returned to work on a Thursday night, her suspension lifted but her job hanging by a thread. Jenkins had made it clear this was her final chance. One more mistake, one more delayed response, and she'd be looking for work elsewhere. The dispatch center felt different when she was alone. The other stations sat empty, their screens dark, keyboards silent. Emma adjusted her headset and settled in for another night of waiting. Her hands trembled as she checked the clock. 11:47 p.m. 3 hours and 20 minutes until Sarah called. The night crawled by with typical calls. A fender bender on Highway 9. Noise complaint from the college district. Domestic disturbance that resolved itself before units arrived. Emma handled each one mechanically, her mind counting down the minutes. At 3:06, she turned off the recording system. Whatever happened next, she didn't want it documented. Jenkins reviewed the tapes randomly, and Emma couldn't risk him hearing what she knew was coming. The phone rang at exactly 3:07. This time, the static was different, cleaner, like tuning into a radio station that had been fuzzy for years and suddenly finding perfect reception. Sarah's voice came through with crystalline clarity. "Please, we need help. There's been an accident at Millfield and Oak. Multiple vehicles. The ice came so fast we couldn't stop. Maria's trapped in her car. David's not responding. I can see headlights coming, but they're not slowing down." Emma's breath caught. Sarah was describing the accident as it happened. Not a memory. Not an echo. The actual moment of impact, playing out in real time across decades. "How many vehicles involved?" Emma heard herself ask, following protocol even as her world tilted sideways. "Three cars, maybe four. It's hard to see through the snow. The first car hit the ice and spun into oncoming traffic. We couldn't avoid it. Oh God, there's another one coming. They can't see us through the storm." The sound of screeching brakes and crushing metal came through the phone. Sarah screamed. The line went dead for 3 seconds, then crackled back to life. "Are you still there?" "Please, we need ambulances. Fire department. Maria's bleeding badly. David's car is upside down. I think I'm hurt too. My legs are trapped." Emma's hands moved across the keyboard automatically, dispatching units to coordinates that had been empty for 37 years. But something was different about the address system tonight. Instead of showing current street layouts, her screen displayed a map from 1987. The payphone at Millfield and Oak showed as active. The intersection looked exactly as it had the night three people died. "Units are en route," Emma said into her headset. "Can you tell me your name?" "Sarah Martinez. I was driving home from work, late shift at the hospital. The roads were clear when I left, but this storm came out of nowhere." Sarah's voice was getting weaker. "Please hurry. I can hear Maria calling for help, but her voice is getting quieter." Emma pulled up the old dispatch logs on her second monitor, the ones she'd found buried in the archives. February 12, 1987, 3:07 a.m., incoming call from Millfield and Oak payphone. Duration, 14 minutes. Dispatcher, Robert Chen. She scrolled down to the response log. No units dispatched. Call marked as unable to verify location due to weather conditions. Robert Chen had let the call ring through to voicemail after 2 minutes. Sarah Martinez, Maria Santos, and David Chen had died waiting for help that never came. "Sarah, I need you to stay with me," Emma said, her voice steady despite the impossible situation unfolding around her. "Help is coming. Can you see any landmarks? Anything that might help the responders find you?" "There's a diner across the street. Murphy's, I think. The sign is flickering. And a gas station on the corner, but the lights are out." Sarah coughed, and Emma could hear liquid in her lungs. "The snow is getting heavier. I don't think they'll be able to see us from the road." Emma knew those landmarks. Murphy's Diner had closed in 1995, replaced by a chain restaurant. The gas station had been demolished to make room for a strip mall. But in 1987, they would have been exactly where Sarah described. "Sarah, I'm going to stay on the line with you. Don't try to move. The paramedics will be there soon. Emma watched her screen as the dispatched units moved through the 1987 street grid. They were 3 minutes out, 37 years too late, but finally coming. "I can't feel my legs anymore," Sarah whispered. "Maria stopped calling. I think she's gone. David's car is smoking. What if it catches fire?" Emma's throat tightened. She'd read the accident report. Maria Santos had died from internal bleeding. David Chen from head trauma. Sarah Martinez had survived the longest, trapped in her car for nearly an hour before succumbing to hypothermia and blood loss. "The fire department is almost there. They'll get you out." Emma lied easily, desperately. "Just hold on a little longer." "I'm so cold." "The heater stopped working when we hit. I can see my breath." Sarah's voice was fading. "Will you tell my family I love them? My mom lives on Carpenter Street. Tell her I was thinking about Sunday dinner when it happened." The dispatched units reached the intersection on Emma's screen. For a moment, she could see them clearly. Fire trucks, ambulances, police cars with their emergency lights cutting through falling snow. Paramedics rushing toward twisted metal and broken glass. Finally doing what should have been done decades ago. Then the screen flickered and returned to the present. Empty intersection. No accident. No emergency vehicles. Just the traffic light swaying in the October wind. But Sarah's voice came through one last time, clear and grateful. "Thank you for staying with me. Thank you for sending help." The line went dead at 3:21 a.m. Emma sat in the silence that followed, tears streaming down her face. The static was gone. The electronic whispers that had haunted her for weeks had vanished completely. Her radio remained quiet. No confirmation from the units she'd dispatched to 1987. No requests for additional resources. Just perfect, peaceful silence. Emma pulled up the current dispatch logs. No record of the call. No units dispatched. The system showed her station as inactive from 3:05 to 3:25 a.m., as if those 20 minutes had never happened. But they had happened. Somewhere in the space between past and present, Sarah Martinez had finally received the help she'd been calling for. The loop was broken. The debt was paid. Emma removed her headset and walked to the window overlooking the parking lot. Dawn was still hours away, but she could see the first hint of light on the horizon. A new day coming. A day when Sarah's voice wouldn't cut through the static at 3:07 a.m. She sat back down and began typing her resignation letter. Emma stared at her resignation letter, cursor blinking after the final sentence. 3 weeks of impossible calls had led to this moment. She could submit it in the morning and walk away from dispatch forever. Let someone else handle the night shift. Let someone else deal with whatever came after 3:07. But Sarah's voice still echoed in her memory. Not desperate anymore. Grateful. Peaceful. The static had cleared for the first time since the calls began, replaced by something Emma had never heard before. Silence. The clock read 2:47 a.m., 20 minutes until the test. Would the phone ring again? Had answering Sarah's call finally broken the cycle, or would tomorrow bring another voice from the past? Another tragedy replaying itself through damaged phone lines and electromagnetic interference? Emma deleted the resignation letter and opened a new document. If the calls continued, someone needed to document what was really happening at Millfield and Oak. Someone needed to understand that the past wasn't always willing to stay buried. She spent the remaining minutes researching Robert Chen, the dispatcher who'd ignored Sarah's original call. He'd worked county dispatch for 15 years before that night. Clean record. Commendations for handling multiple emergencies during the 1985 tornado outbreak. A good dispatcher who'd made one terrible decision during an ice storm that came out of nowhere. Robert had quit 3 days after the accident. The official reason was family relocation, but Emma found a brief newspaper interview where he mentioned having trouble sleeping, hearing voices on quiet nights. The guilt of wondering if he could have saved 3 lives by trusting his instincts instead of following protocol. He died in 1998, heart attack at 53. No family, no forwarding address, just another casualty of that February night, delayed by 11 years. The clock hit 3:06. Emma's hands hovered over her headset, ready to answer or ignore whatever came next. The phone system showed all lines clear. No incoming calls, no static building in the background. 307 came and went in perfect silence. Emma waited until 3:10, then 3:15. The quiet stretched on, broken only by the hum of fluorescent lights and the distant sound of traffic on the interstate. No desperate voice pleading for help. No electronic interference crackling through the speakers. She'd done it. Somehow, impossibly, she'd given Sarah Martinez the response she'd been waiting 37 years to receive. The loop was broken. The debt was paid. But the silence felt wrong. Emma had grown accustomed to the nightly ritual, the certainty that 307 would bring Sarah's call. Without it, the night shift stretched endlessly ahead, empty hours filled with routine calls and mundane emergencies. Normal work that suddenly felt hollow after weeks of touching something beyond normal experience. Emma opened her desk drawer and pulled out the newspaper clipping about the 1987 accident. Sarah's photo smiled back at her from yellowed newsprint. A hospital worker driving home after a late shift, 24 years old, engaged to be married that summer. A life cut short by black ice and a dispatcher who didn't trust what he was hearing. She folded the clipping carefully and slipped it into her wallet. Some stories deserve to be remembered. Some voices deserve to be heard, even if they came from impossible places. The rest of her shift passed quietly. A few drunk driving calls. One domestic disturbance that resolved itself. Routine work that felt strange after weeks of supernatural interference. Emma handled each call professionally, but part of her mind kept drifting to the empty intersection at Millfield and Oak. At 6 a.m., Jenkins arrived for the morning briefing. He looked surprised to see Emma still at her station, alert and focused instead of exhausted and distracted. "Good night," he asked, settling into his office chair. "Quiet," Emma replied. "No problems." Jenkins nodded approvingly. "Maybe you're finally settling into the rhythm. Night shift takes some getting used to, but you seem to be finding your footing." Emma smiled and gathered her things. Finding her footing. If only he knew how literally true that was. She'd found her footing by stepping outside normal reality and into something that defied explanation. By choosing to answer a call that shouldn't exist and dispatching help to an accident that had happened before she was born. She drove home as the sun rose over the county, painting the sky in shades of orange and pink. The radio played morning news and traffic updates. Normal sounds for normal people living normal lives. Emma envied them their certainty, their ability to accept the world as it appeared to be. But she'd seen behind the curtain now, understood that some tragedies echoed across decades, waiting for someone brave enough or foolish enough to listen. The past wasn't always past. Sometimes it needed help moving forward. Emma parked in her apartment complex and sat in the car for a long moment, watching other residents leave for work. Regular people with regular jobs who'd never had to decide whether to answer a call from the dead. Who'd never had to choose between their sanity and someone else's desperate need for help. She'd made her choice. Sarah Martinez was at peace now, but Emma would carry the weight of that impossible conversation for the rest of her life. The knowledge that reality was thinner than most people believed. That sometimes the only thing standing between the living and the dead was a dispatcher willing to stay on the line. Emma climbed the stairs to her apartment, already planning her next shift. The calls might stop, but the job continued. Someone had to answer the phone when the impossible happened. Someone had to be ready for the next voice that refused to stay silent. 6 months later, Emma stood in the flower section of Hartley's Garden Center, arranging white roses in a simple bouquet. The work was peaceful, predictable. No voices from the past, no electronic static, no impossible calls that shouldn't exist. She'd submitted her resignation the morning after Sarah's final call. Jenkins hadn't seemed surprised. Three dispatchers in 40 years, all driven away by the same intersection. He'd probably been expecting it. The new dispatcher was handling night shift well. Emma had checked the incident reports online. No missed calls at 3:07 a.m. No units dispatched to empty intersections. The cycle had truly ended. Every Tuesday, Emma drove to Millfield and Oak with fresh flowers. White roses with yellow ribbon, just like the mysterious bouquets she'd found during her obsession. She was the one leaving them now, the one keeping Sarah's memory alive. The intersection looked peaceful in daylight. Traffic flowed normally through the upgraded signals. A small memorial plaque had been installed on the corner, commemorating the three lives lost in 1987. Most drivers passed without noticing it. Emma placed the flowers and stood quietly for a moment, remembering Sarah's voice. Not desperate anymore, but grateful. At peace. The static had never returned, but sometimes Emma still heard echoes in the quiet moments between sleep and waking. The dispatch logs from that February night in 1987 still exist in the county archives. Robert Chen's final entry reads, "Unable to verify emergency due to weather conditions. Three people died waiting for help that never came. Until it did." At Millfield and Oak, a loop finally closed and the static eased. For one voice, help arrived. For one dispatcher, the night changed shape. If this transmission stayed with you, follow Signal 20 and share the episode with someone who knows the weight of 3 a.m. calls. Next time, we'll be standing by. Head clear, lines open.